Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
This week, Federal Cabinet has approved a radical rewrite of the Qantas Sale Act and is now on the way to the Senate. A decision that would see the prospect of increased foreign ownership of our national carrier, Qantas. However, at the same time, there is a thing called the Air Navigation Act, which runs next to the Qantas Sale Act, that still prevents a majority foreign buyout of Qantas at this point. Qantas under Alan Joyce maintains that the airline's dire predicament currently is the result of labour and fuel costs, as well as the heavily leveraged impact of foreign airlines on domestic and international routes. Prime Minister Abbott has rejected Qantas' request for a debt guarantee, not unlike the guarantee that was offered to banks at the height of the GFC. Instead, Mr. Abbott has suggested that even if Qantas were to end up owned outside of Australia, it's still going to be staffed by Australians for Australians, and therefore ostensibly remaining an Australian brand. Dick Smith is a man, I suspect, who's going to have a great deal to add to this conversation. Adventurer, entrepreneur, aviator, two-time chair of our Civil Aviation Authority, and a passionate fan of Qantas. Dick, welcome to Open House. Let's start with a broad question that needs answering overall first. Does Australia need a national airline?
Well, I'm not sure if we need it. It'd be nice to have it, but I don't think we're going to have one because most Aussies want to fly with the cheapest airline, and both governments, Labor and Liberal, have decided we should basically have open house and allow cheap carriers to come in from China, China Southern, companies like that. And that basically means the writing is on the wall for Qantas. If it doesn't move, at least with international, it doesn't move basically most of its overheads to China, I would say in 2 or 3 years' time it won't be in business.
Dick, one of the key benchmarks for a national airline is its role in the case of national or international disaster. Surely if Australians were to get into strife elsewhere around the globe at a mass level, the Australian government would send whatever airline in to do the saving.
It would have to say if it's no longer got any control over Qantas, in other words, it's not majority Australian-owned, it would just charter an airline, and I suppose that's possible. I quite like the idea of having an Australian airline, and I'm prepared to pay a bit more for the air ticket, but I'm about the only one of my friends who are. I think 8 out of 10 Australians now don't fly with Qantas overseas, and I'm told next year it'll probably be 9 out of 10, and then basically everyone will travel with the foreign carriers because the costs are so much lower.
Dick, whether the repeal of the Qantas Sale Act goes through the Senate or not, and there's a big question mark around that without the support of the Labor and the Greens parties, Qantas clearly needs to change or improve its business model. As a businessman, as well as a fan of Qantas as an ideology, what does Qantas need to do to get back on its feet?
Well, it's basically impossible. See, half the people blame Alan Joyce and the other half tend to blame the unions. And there may be problems there, who knows? But you're not going to be able to solve the problem when the other airlines have such a lower wage base. And let me explain this to you. If you looked at, say, China Southern Airlines or Emirates or Singapore Airlines, they have the same fuel cost and the same airline cost. But the other 40% of the equation, which is the labour overheads, these companies have far lower costs. And I think I can compare Qantas now with a company called AWA. Can you ever remember AWA?
Vaguely.
Right. It was a wonderful Australian icon company that made television sets, tape recorders, two-way radios, you name it, it made it. Yeah. And no one could have ever believed 30 years ago that Australia could exist without AWA. But what happened, Gough Whitlam took away the protective duty on electronics, which is the same way as governments have allowed overseas airlines to fly in here. They took away the protection. And because AWA didn't move quick enough to China, like, say, Apple did or General Electric did in the United States, because AWA didn't move quick enough to China and employ everyone there, within 3 years it was basically out of business. It doesn't exist any longer as a famous brand. Now, the same will happen with Qantas because there is simply, it wouldn't matter what genius Alan Joyce was or how many people you replaced him with, it wouldn't matter if every unionist became the most efficient worker. The fact is that we share the wealth better in this country. We pay reasonable salaries, whereas in China and in Singapore and in the Emirates countries, they don't pay reasonable salaries. They don't share the wealth. And so that means the costs are far lower. If then every Australian just goes with the cheapest carrier, it means Qantas will have all of the staff, all of the overheads, but not enough people flying with them.
Dick, what is the pay scale differential between, say, a Qantas cabin crew and Emirates?
First of all, just let's look at the United States. Now, the minimum wage in the United States, which probably 50 million Americans get, if you worked in Walmart or if you worked for, say, United Airlines there in one of the basic jobs, you'd get about $9 an hour. The minimum we can pay in Australia is $19 an hour. So we pay twice as much because we do share the wealth. But let's look at, say, Emirates or Singapore Airlines. I understand if you divide the wage budget of Qantas by the number of staff, it comes out at an average of about $90,000 per head. And yes, there's a few people like Alan Joyce getting millions, but there's a hell of a lot of people getting $80,000, $90,000, which is, some people would say, not a huge salary. Anyway, compare that with Emirates or with Singapore Airlines, the average wage is about 40 grand. It's around about half or less than half what Qantas pay. Now, that would be okay if people were loyal to Qantas and said, look, I'll pay a bit extra for my airfare because I like the idea of an Aussie airline. I like the fact that they pay decent wages. But that's not happening. Most Aussies, and in fact, every one of my business colleagues, I'm the only one left who flies Qantas. All the rest of them fly Emirates or China Southern or anyone who's cheaper, and that's just the way they think.
So the cost of keeping a national airline would be to see those who are employed by that airline take a cut in wages. If that were the case, would that be enough to keep it flying?
It would be, but it would be terrible. And in fact, Morris Newman, who's now advising, is the ex-chairman of the ABC, and he's now advising Tony Abbott, he said, and he's absolutely right, he said that either wages will have to drop dramatically in Australia, the minimum wage, or the dollar will devalue to adjust it, and that means the dollar would have to come down to 50 cents, so our wages were about equivalent of that of the USA. Now, I think that would be terrible. I don't like that at all, but how can Qantas possibly run when they're paying high wages and they have to compete? I mean, no one could open a business here manufacturing television sets or manufacturing Apple iPhones. It would not be possible because it's illegal to pay anything other than the minimum wage, which is probably five times the wages people are being paid in China. Now that the government insists on allowing airlines like China Southern basically to have unlimited capacity between here and the UK, no, I just can't see how Qantas can possibly exist. It's different domestically, yes. All airlines domestically have to pay the decent Australian wage. So all Qantas has to do is make sure the workers are as efficient as possible, remove every bit of feather bedding, and there's no reason why they can't compete locally. But internationally, I simply can't see it lasting unless it moves just about everything to China. It could still be owned from Australia, but it'd have to run the whole thing from a low overhead country.
Bottom line, though, is if the Qantas Sale Act does go through and we inevitably, somewhere in the near or farther future, see an airline under the name of Qantas but now owned ostensibly outside the country, wages will come down anyway by virtue of a new owner, surely?
Well, it obviously, this would be really interesting only if it moved the operation where it was employing people not in this country, because, of course, just about anything any good now is foreign-owned. I mean, we've gone back to the old colonial days. 100 years ago, Australia was fighting to sort of remove the control of Australia from the Northern Hemisphere, from England in that case. Now we've gone back to that, where just about every big successful company either is run from the United States or runs from Europe. It's really sad. Now, why can't we run an airline? The very fact that they want to remove the restrictions on Australian ownership is because they can get cheaper money. And if you look at the money that must be available in the Middle East, where it costs $12 a barrel to get the oil out of the ground and they get $100 a barrel. So they have trillions of dollars that I bet they're lucky to get 0.5% interest on. So presumably, if the restrictions change, the Middle East people will come in and buy Qantas because they have all this money for nothing, then I would presume they'll go broke if they keep employing Australians and Australians are not prepared to pay the extra airfares, which we haven't been. So they'll then move most of the labour jobs and everything probably to China or the Philippines or Ireland or something like that. That's terrible for Australia, but it's happening in the car industry, it's happening at SPC, it's happening everywhere.
Is there any good news here for those who are left with jobs after the 5,000 that are about to lose their jobs in the recent Qantas announcement?
Well, I'm fearful of the remaining jobs because, see, it's not, you can't blame Qantas, you can't blame the government. It's us. We want the cheapest airfares. And so most of us don't fly with Qantas because the fares are more expensive. We all know Qantas is safer. I can tell you, being a previous chairman of the CAA, I know that Qantas spends more money on safety than many of these other airlines because they're paranoid about it. And if you've got a Qantas pilot who's being paid a hell of a lot of money, he's normally the best person that can ever get to that job, because the ones who are not much good, of course, get the boot, get out of the place, and there's any amount of people who will take their jobs because they get paid so well. So it means you get the most skilled pilots. Now, they're competing now with airlines from overseas, where some of these pilots have probably half the number of hours, who get paid probably a quarter as much. But most Australians in droves move over and buy air tickets on those carriers. And I just can't see Qantas being saved unless it moves just about everything offshore, a bit like Holden and Ford and Toyota. But that's terrible for Australia. But it's because we do share the wealth a bit better compared to other countries.
Dick Smith, thank you for your time. It seems we have ourselves to blame.
It's really sad. Thanks, Dwayne. Bye-bye. Bye.